Everybody had a nice rain last night. Lots of lightning and thunder. I love storms. I love lightning and thunder. I like to go out and just sit and watch it, you know. And used to go out and sit in a metal chair to watch them. And Nancy said that's not a real good idea, Jim. So I kind of gave up on that. So. Okay, well, glad to have everybody here this morning. And why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer? And we'll get started. Dear Father, we're thankful, Lord, that we can come and gather together, Lord, and to study your word, and Lord, just to worship you. And Lord, that's why we're here, is to worship you. That's why you created us, Lord, or made us, is to worship you. And help us, Lord, to do that. And I just pray that you'll guide our thoughts this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, and Lord, just help us to do what you want us to do. Help us, Lord, to grow in you. Lord, to be stronger. Lord, to be good soldiers for you. And just to open our hearts, Lord, for the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, why don't we go ahead and turn to the book of Daniel. And we'll go ahead and get started. It's been a week since we've been in this. And we had a missionary last time. And it was great. Just have a burden to go to the Turkey. And dangerous country, dangerous territory, but they're wanting to go there. Take their family to go there and to serve the Lord. So anyway, we're just glad to hear from them, and it's good to have a break. Good for you guys to have a break from Jim Gay. So anyway, we did that. So okay. You notice I'm struggling up here some this morning. I had something I was going to talk about, but I've been asking the Lord, you know, should we do this or not? And I decided I'm not ready. So we're going to move on with Daniel. I was going to do something different. Okay, we are in Daniel chapter 3, 2. And we've talked about the image, and we've seen that, the head of brass, the chest and the arms of silver, the bronze, the belly and the thighs of bronze, the legs of iron, and the feet and toes of iron and clay mixed. Iron and clay don't mix, and we know that. Anyway, that's kind of where we were, and Daniel is going through here now, and he's given Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of what all this means. And right now, in Daniel chapter 2, we are just kind of skimming over the surface. And that's all we're going to do in chapter 2. We're going to hit this same thing again in chapter 7. In chapter 7, it's going to go into a lot more detail. And we're going to fill in a lot of the blanks that might be left hanging as we're going through this now. And so we're going to come back to it, and we're going to be coming back to it in the future. And a lot of times in the book of Daniel, some of this stuff is actually a repeat. Now, in chapter 7, he uses different symbols. There's not the head of, you know, the head of gold and the silver, the brass, of iron. Those aren't the symbols. He uses different symbols, but he's talking about exactly the same thing. And we're going to see that a lot more detail coming. And so I'm excited about that, but this is where we are. And so I'm not going to, and I have a temptation to want to fill in a lot of the blanks, you know, now. But it'd be better to wait, and I have trouble waiting. You know, I get excited about this book. So anyway, to kind of get us up to speed, we actually left off last week, or 2 weeks ago, in verse 44 is where we actually left off. But to kind of get our mental juices flowing again this morning, get up to speed, let's go ahead and start in verse 40, and we'll go ahead and read through let's just go through 43. So let's read 40 through 43, and we'll stop there. And so who would read those verses for us? Okay.
And the fourth kingdom shall be a strong iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters over things, and like iron and cranes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all together. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of polished clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided yet, the strength of the iron shall be in it, which you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay.
Yeah, 43. Okay, thank you, Kathy. Okay, as we've already noted, the head of gold, and God, and she's mentioned in reading this, talking about kingdoms. Gentile world powers, kingdoms, Gentiles. And Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom of Babylon, is the first one. You know, in the Bible, God tells us, Nebuchadnezzar, you are that king. You know, that is your kingdom. And after you is going to follow another kingdom, which was a Medo-Persian empire. And we can look at history. And the fascinating thing about this book and about prophecy, now, for Daniel, this was future, you know. I mean, the Babylon thing, that was present for him. But start with the Medo-Persian Empire, that's future. And then he's writing about the Grecian Empire, which is the brass, the bronze. And then following that is the Roman Empire. And that, the Roman Empire actually lasted until 1453 A.D., was when it finally dissolved. So he's talking about future things. And then he's going to go on and talk about things that's, and see, this is all history for us. That's past. So Daniel's writing about this thing. And again, this is Old Testament. This is written before the birth of Christ, 600 B.C. And so he's talking about, and folks, this is ways we can know that this Bible is real. It's alive. And then he's talking about, we're going to get in now to the future part from where we are. We're going to just touch on it in this chapter, and then we're going to move on to the fiery furnace. That's the next chapter. So we've talked about these things. We are now and kind of picking it up, and we have iron. We've been talking about the iron. That's the Roman Empire, and that was strong. I mean, if you take a look at a map, they conquered all kinds of territory. They were strong militarily. And so now we're getting ready to move it. And right now, and see, in this particular portion of Scripture, the Bible doesn't give us any indication there's a lapse between the end of the two legs, and the Roman Empire had two main divisions to it. The capital one was Constantinople, and the capital of the other one was Rome, the Roman Empire. They were, you know, two a division there, two legs. But then we go into the feet and the toes. And we don't see it here, but there's a break in time. And folks, right now we are living during this break of time. Okay? But in the future, then we're going to have the Roman Empire. It is still the iron. Talking about the Roman Empire. It is going to be revived, and there's going to be 10 toes. And it's going to be strong because of the iron, but it's going to be weak because of the iron mixed with clay. And we're going to touch on that this morning. We're going to go into, again, a lot more detail in chapter 7. So, with these thoughts in mind, I'll just kind of pick up where we are. And so it's talking about there's going to be divisions. I'm going to just back up on my notes here. It's just talking about the, I'm sorry, folks, I'm really rattled this morning. I was not going to do this. I was going to do something else. And I thought I was prepared, and right now my mind is discombobulated. I did not sleep well last night. I use that as an excuse. Anyway, in the future, the Roman Empire is going to be revived. There's going to be 10 nations. The 10 toes represents 10 nations. We're going to be looking in the future in the book of Revelation, and we're going to see a lot more detail on that. So anyway, and in I'm just going to move on here with, let's just pick it up at verse 45 so I can kind of get organized here. I apologize for my lack of thinking here this morning. And well, we read 43. Let's go ahead and read 44 and 45. We'll just pick it up there between 44 and 45. Who would read those two verses for us, please? Yes, sir. Okay, thank you, Josh. Okay, verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. All right, what do you think that's talking about? What? Right, Christ's kingdom, okay. And so, and again, remember the image that the stone smashes the feet and the toes. And so the feet and the toes are still in existence when the stone comes. When Christ, it's talking about when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom. And so all of these Gentile kingdoms are going to be, you know, alive and well at the time. And this stone is going to crush all of the Gentile world rule, everything. Christ's going to set up his own kingdom. And he's going to set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. And I'm getting ready to get ahead of myself here. And but anyway, he's going to set up his kingdom. And it talks about in verse 44, God shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, folks, that's future. Because we got kingdoms, you know, it's, you know. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. Is what that phrase there means in verse 44 is there's not going to be another human form of government after that. Human government, Gentile domination, you know, it's done. It's over with. Christ's going to conquer it, and there's not another nation, not another kingdom, not another empire is going to come after Christ sets up his kingdom. And it is going to last forever. It's going to break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And then in verse 45 it says, "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold." And then here's the thing. The great God hath, and he's, now Daniel's talking to Nebuchadnezzar here. "Now the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter? And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. And so Daniel said, okay, king, God is showing you what's going to happen in the future. And he's telling you what's going to come to pass hereafter. This Daniel right here in this has laid out prophecy to the end of the world. And the world is not going to have an end. You know, I guess I should state it that way because it's never going to end. And it says, the dream is certain and the interpretation thereof is sure. Daniel, you can take it, Nebuchadnezzar, you can take it to the bank. It's sure. Okay. I don't know if banks are all that sure anymore, so I'm beginning to think you better start digging holes in our backyard, burying something in cans again. You know, go back to those days. Anyway, so the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The source of the interpretation, and again, Daniel spells this out, is the one true God himself. God is revealing to Nebuchadnezzar what's going to happen. It's not Daniel. It's not Daniel. God is doing it through Daniel. And God is the revealer of mysteries. He's the interpreter of dreams. The dream is certainly an interpretation thereof is sure. And these four kingdoms in Nebuchadnezzar, they stretch from you to a stone that comes and smashes them all and fills the whole earth. And if you remember back in the beginning of this thing, after the stone smashes this, it crushes everything, and all these metal things is turned to dust or chaff, the Bible says, and the wind blows them away and they can't be found anymore. So the stone, even though it hits the feet, it crushes the entire image, and it's gone and it vanishes and it disappears off of planet Earth. So that is the dream. So now, let's go ahead and move on to verse 46. And we'll read 46 through the end of the chapter, through 49. And let's see, there's another hand popped up. But anyway, who would read those verses for us, please? There was a hand popped up over, okay, Dorothy, got a thing of her mind. Dorothy? Can you speak up a little bit more, Dorothy? Yeah, go to the end of the chapter. Two more verses. Okay, thank you, Dorothy. Okay, and basically, Nebuchadnezzar is, one of the authors says, Nebuchadnezzar was blown away by Daniel's account of God's interpretation of the dream. Daniel revealed the dream, and he revealed the interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar accepts that, because the reason being, he could give the dream. And so if he could give the dream, nobody else could do that, then he also can trust in the interpretation of it. And it says here, he fell down and paid homage to him and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. Now, these actions are traditionally reserved for the worship of Babylonian deities. That was, to fall down and worship somebody. Now, the Bible does not tell us here, but I'm sure Daniel probably stopped this action because people, even angels, say, don't fall down and worship me. I'm sure Daniel stopped and said, stop, king, don't do it. And I'm sure he would have done that because the only people should be worshiped is God, not human, not mankind. And so I'm assuming, even though the Bible doesn't tell us that, I'm assuming that Daniel would not allow that to happen. So, verse 47. The king answered and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods. All right? And a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings. Notice the word gods there, a God of gods, plural. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he thought, not the only God, but superior to all the other gods. Nebuchadnezzar has always believed in many, many gods. And in his mind, in his thinking, he is simply just adding God to the list. But he says, Daniel's God is the greatest of all, the gods. Now, we're going to find out he's got a very short memory. But at this particular moment, he's saying he's superior to all the other gods, all of the Babylonian gods. Nebuchadnezzar was forced to admit the superiority of Daniel's God. And he's a Lord of kings. Now, bear in mind, this would include Nebuchadnezzar himself, that God is a Lord of kings. So Nebuchadnezzar's admitting, God is actually over me. And again, immediately in the next verse, we're going to see he's got a very, very short memory about all the things he's saying right now. Because of Daniel's witness, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that the one true God was supreme even over him. Even over him. That's quite an admission for a pagan king who claimed to be divine. And a lot of these kings claim to be divine. We got people today even claiming to be divine, that's just the headstrongness of mankind. Verse 48, Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel was rewarded with incredible material wealth as well as greatly increased authority in Babylon. This is about like Joseph. He was in charge of Babylon. Under the king, of course. But he's top dog. And Nebuchadnezzar made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. That's the entire thing, folks. That's quite a promotion, okay? He was chief of the governors. He's over all the wise men of Babylon, it says here in this verse. And I'm just going to make a note here. We're going to see in future studies here that this does not set well with the wise men. Okay? Because when Daniel, remember back when he first came there, Daniel had 3 years of tutorship underneath all the wise men and all these different people. And so now you have got the student is put in charge over his teachers. That is not going to set well at all. And these guys are in the future, they're going to want to get a little revenge. They don't like this. Here's this foreigner, this young whippersnapper. Anyway, verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so Daniel did not forget his three friends. He didn't forget them. Through his influence, he was able to secure promotions for them as well. They got promoted. They were given high positions in government offices. They became administrators under Daniel's authority. And of course, these promotions were the providential work of the sovereign God. And folks, behind all of this, God's at work. God's at work. And we can also say in our lives, behind all of it, God is at work. And so that concludes chapter 2. And I'm hoping, I keep working ahead, you know, in this book, and I hope we can get through the book of Daniel in less than 10 years. So, anyway. So, any questions or comments before we move on to chapter 3?
Yeah,
Jim? Yes, sir.
You're talking about the resurrection.
Okay, for those of you who couldn't hear, he's saying when we come back to, when the Babylonian Empire comes, the Roman Empire, I'm sorry, the Roman Empire comes back together, is do I assume or think that the Catholic Church will be involved in this in any way? And the answer to the question, up to this point, what I've been studying, and again, everything here is new to me. The whole book of Daniel is all new to me because I skipped over it. I read through it real fast. But at this point, Gary, there has been no mention of that. Now, I've heard that. I've heard that a lot of people say a lot of this stuff, it all revolves around Rome, the Roman Empire. It's talking about, I think, seven hills. Rome has seven hills. But at this particular, I'm just going to say, Gary, at this point, I don't know. And that's the best answer I can give. Does anybody else have any comment on that? Yes, sir. Okay, I've gone through two authors, and I'm working on author number 3 right now. And the first author is a guy with the last name of Rhodes, R-H-O-A-D-E-S. It's a book that I got. Secondly is the course that I took from BBN on the book of Daniel Bible Broadcasting Network. I listen to it all the time down in my shop, but I can't keep their. I keep wanting to put Baptist in there, and it's Bible Broadcasting Network Institute. That's the other one. I took the course on Daniel, and anyway, and then I'm also using John MacArthur, and I'm going through John MacArthur, and then I'm adding his content. And every one of these people have got a lot of tremendous things to say about this book. And I just keep cutting. With him, his sermons, you can hear the sermon, but they also put the text up there. And the text, you can copy and paste it. And so that is something that I do. It's easier for me to cut and paste or copy and paste than it is to type all this stuff out myself. If you're wanting to do a study on something, now I highly recommend both those things, because if you're wanting to do some research or study and stuff, you can cut and paste on John's sermons, and it makes it very nice. And it's amazing how these people, these pastors, how they can take things and see so much deeper than I can. I'm a very shallow person. I'm not a deep thinker at all. And these guys can see things and pick it out, and I'm saying, wow, that is good. You know, why can't I think of stuff like that, you know, and come up with stuff like that? I can't. God did not give me that ability. I am a copycat. And I just have to parrot and copy what these other guys say. So, and somebody else told me one time, he says, well, all those guys probably did the same thing. They probably copied and studied people ahead of them. So anyway, I guess I'm rambling. Sorry I can't answer your question, Gary, but I really, at this point, actually none of them have mentioned that. And yet I've heard it. But none of them. Now, I haven't got there with John MacArthur. Now, maybe he will. So, yes, sir. I'm not sure I follow your question.
I can't think of the reference, but I know there's people that claim that there's like an antichrist for every generation.
Yeah.
Satan doesn't know when that day is. Is it possible that the revised Roman Empire, for every generation, there's an attempt to revise it until God allows it? I mean, he's gonna put a stop to it until it's his time.
Okay. Yeah, there's going to be it'll be a man called the Antichrist. He is going to be energized by Satan himself. And again, God is sovereign. He knows all these things are going to take place. But they will rise up. In fact, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, we're going to be talking about that in the future. The Battle of Armageddon. I mean, all these guys, all nations are coming together against Israel. And it says all nations, and folks, that includes the United States. That includes the United States. All nations are coming against Israel, and that's where the Bible talks, where Jesus saying, you know, when you see these things taking place, if you're on the housetop, don't go in to grab your coat. If you're in the field, don't run back. Just run, okay? And that's when all of these countries, they are descending on the land of Israel. Israel is running, they're fleeing, they're being pursued. And then that's when Christ says, all right, that's enough. And then he steps in, and that's when the blood flows to the depth of the bridle, the horse's bridle, for 200 or 250 miles long, whatever that is, it's talking about there, the Battle of Armageddon. And so now I guess I'm rambling again. If I feel extremely tired this morning, I guess I, but I don't, I probably have not answered your question. Okay, why don't we try it again next Sunday? Okay, so, I apologize for my brain this morning, folks. It's, yeah. Yeah, and the Bible talks about this Antichrist and then the false prophet, you know, that comes up. They're able to do miracles. And it says they could deceive even the very elect almost, you know. But, I mean, just a lot of people are deceived. They follow. Yeah, this guy's going to come on the scene. He's going to have all the answers. People are looking for a world leader. And this guy is going to be a world leader. And people are going to flock to him by the droves. And he's going to perform miracles and bring some stuff back to life that was dead. And all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, this guy's got to be God. And he declares himself, sets himself up as God. And again, God says he will share his throne with no one. They're not going to get away with it. Yes, sir.
Well,
Yeah. Okay. For those of you over here that couldn't hear him, Gary said he's been using these sermons and stuff, lessons from BBN for years, and he studied a lot of them, and he says there's all kinds of studies you can do, and books, different topics, whatever, and he says these teachers, they are excellent. And so he highly recommends it, and again, I do too. So you don't have to take the test. I did that to force myself to try to really concentrate and do a good job. By the way, I got 100% on my final exam, and my overall grade average through the whole course was a 99. And I thought, you know, for this old brain that hadn't been in school for 50, 60 years or whatever. So anyway, I had to put in a plug there. Okay, we got about another 6 minutes. Any other comments before we move on? Okay, let's go ahead and move on to chapter 3. So this book's got 12 chapters in it. We've finished 2, so we are 1/6 the way through. But again, it's going to slow down in the future because we just got so much more. We're going to be going into more depth. And this thing is, when we do that, it's going to get more exciting. I mean, we're all of a sudden going to be, say, wow, you know, look at how this came to pass. Okay, let's go ahead. I'm going to start off by telling you a little story here. There was a husband of a family, and he was kind of a spiritual person, and so he decided that he wanted to go out and buy a statue of Jesus Christ. And so he did. He goes out and he buys this statue, and he brings the thing home, and he sets it in the living room on the coffee table. And the wife comes along, and she sees that thing there, and she thought, that just does not go with the decor of our family room. And so she took the thing and she moved it into his den. And a little bit later, he come in and he sees this statue there, and he doesn't really like it there, and he moves it somewhere else. And so he moves a different part of the room. And they got a 6-year-old son, and he's standing back and he's watching all this stuff. And the kid sums it all up. He says, you know what? It looks like you guys just don't know what to do with God. And that is a very interesting statement. Because in a lot of situations, we don't know what to do with God. And we're going to, and a lot of times that happens in our life. We come into different situations. What am I going to do? Am I going to act on my spiritual convictions? Or am I going to yield, and am I going to go with the crowd? And in this chapter 3, we're going to see 3 men who knew what to do with God, and we're going to see 1 man who doesn't. And so it's kind of an interesting situation here, because the 3 guys are going to know what to do with God, to stand on their convictions. And this is a very convicting lesson for me to teach, because I fall so far short of what I should be as a Christian. But anyway, let's go ahead, and we've got 3 minutes. Let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. And who would read those verses for us? 1 through 7. John?
Sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication
Okay. So like I say, Nebuchadnezzar is praising the God of heaven. Said he's a God of gods and a Lord of kings. And we see here, Nebuchadnezzar is setting up this image, and now he wants people to sit down and worship it. And it doesn't say here in the scriptures, but it's probably could be assumed, it is probably an image of himself, you know, that he sets up here. And so, with these thoughts in mind, we're going to take a look at three godly young men who did not bow under the pressures, and it's going to cost them their life, as far as they know. And so, but they stay true to God, and folks, there are some lessons for us to be drawn through the study of this lesson. Very convicting. So our time is up, and so any other comments? We got about 15 seconds. Any other comments before we go? Oh, yes, Dorothy. There's going to be severe persecution. It's going to be mainly against the Jews during the tribulation time. But yeah, she's right. If you couldn't hear her, she said the Bible says that it's going to take a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. And severe persecution's coming. Tough times lie ahead. And folks, if we're Christians, we don't have to worry about going through the tribulation. But a lot of the unbelieving Jews will. And okay, why don't we close with a word of prayer? And you're right, Dorothy, it's tough times are coming. And I heard the Bible says a nation divided against itself cannot stand. And, you know, I took a look at our country, at our nation, and I take a look at our leaders of our nation. And folks, could a nation get any more divided than we are now? In fact, the Republicans are trying to pass this health bill. They said, well, you know what? We might have to go and start even talking to some Democrats, trying to get this thing passed. I'm thinking, these guys are supposed to be working together for the betterment of our nation. Look at the mindset of our nation. And folks, they are just set. Anytime one of them suggests one thing, the other does everything in their power to block it, to stop it, to make the others look bad. They are not interested in the betterment of our nation, in the betterment of our country. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. And I just, we need to be praying for, you know, for God's mercy, for God's grace for our nation. Because, folks, this country, we are in serious trouble. Serious trouble. So, okay, let's close a word of prayer and we'll be gone. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for the book of Daniel. Thank you that we can see your word come alive. And, Lord, we're going to see a lot more of that in the future. Lord, just open our hearts. And, Lord, I do pray for our nation. I pray for our country. Lord, the spiritual condition of our nation is pathetic. And Lord, you're watching all of this, and you see what's happening. And Lord, I do pray for our leadership. Lord, I pray that it looked like we had a good start. And Lord, it's just everything seems to have crumbled and decayed. And I pray for our nation. And Father, I just pray for your grace, your mercy upon us. Father, we've sinned against you, and Lord, we are guilty. And we do not deserve your blessing, Lord, but we pray for mercy. Just pray that you'll be with pastors. He brings a morning message to us. And help us, Lord, to have open hearts. And help us, Lord, just to draw nigh to you. And you promise, then you'll draw nigh to us. In Jesus' name we pray.